Okay, here we are. We're back to this. This Q&A is not what you think. It's with me, and it's about Cryon, all right? So no personal questions like, what should I do about my situation? Ask questions other may benefit from. And mostly it's like, what does Cryon say about this or about that? Only one question per person. Your higher self does not count as another person. I'm on to you. I've done this before. And so basically that's it. And we'll have Monica will be the one that I designate to select, and she'll run around with a microphone, and so we'll all hear the questions. Before I start, I want to say that the people have asked, why don't you do this with Cryon? We have. And the answers are not near as complete. Cryon is cryptic quite often, and if you've listened to enough channels, you know that. And so it's turned out to be a lot less than you might think. Now, what I bring is the lineage of 30 years of what Cryon has said, all strung together. I pretty well have the concepts of what Cryon has said, what's going on, the concepts perhaps that hasn't even been channeled yet sometimes. And so that's what we're doing here. That's what this time is about. You're asking about what's going on, what Cryon has said. You can ask me personal questions as well. Really, truly, there's no problem with that. How I live, what it's like, and all that. But that's where we are. Okay.
You're looking at me?
I'm looking at you because you are next.
So basically, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up for the questions. I'll come to you and we'll give you the microphone so everybody can hear. So first question. I think you had your hand up first, Jim. So here we go.
Do other galaxies have free choice humans in it? Or
Jim, you're getting right to some really profound stuff. Usually we warm up a little, like, why is the sky blue, or things like this. I will tell you something that, there's two things I would like to tell you, what Cryon has said and not said. Cryon always talks about our galaxy. Unique. He has never spoken of any other galaxy, and yet there are billions of them. Now, that's either because it's not important, that ours is so big we're never going to see all of it, or there's something specific going on in ours that is not going on in the others. So it's what Cryon hasn't said that I think is, to me, extremely interesting. Stay in our galaxy. Then I read an interesting article, and it was some time ago, in a science magazine that was online, that said scientists had discovered that the physics was slightly different in another galaxy. And that kind of opened my eyes thinking, maybe it's another kind of life. Physics determines, you know, life in general and the way things work and all that. So all I can tell you, and that's what Cryon hasn't said, is stay with ours. We can be curious, but we're never going to, this doesn't matter. And we didn't come from it. He always talks about us coming from other life forms in our galaxy. And here's a question you didn't ask. And now I'm asking it, and I'll say, and Cryon is talking about it. The next, it actually begs the next question, is that since there's life happening on this planet, and there's more and more and more of us, and we all have souls and all, where are we coming from? Are we coming from the pool of the great central source, which we call God, or are we coming perhaps from other planets? And Cryon says, you have an Akash that includes life on other planets. That's the answer. So that then, we talk about people who seem to have, very sensitive people who have memories of not being here. And that explains that.
So next question, I'm going to head to the other side of the room. Okay, yeah, sir.
Hi, thanks. Name's Steve. Yesterday you had alluded to things about the current Pope, and maybe I missed it last night. I'm curious about Cryon's view, because mostly what I hear about the Pope and inside the church is more negative than positive. So what you're like?
Okay, did you let's listen to your words. You're hearing information from inside the church?
Well, I'm from a Catholic background, so I read stuff that people write inside the church.
And you're absolutely right. The church does not like the Pope. Are you surprised? What Cryon said, let's back up, and this is a common question, so anybody who's been in the Q&A before perhaps have heard me say this, and it's probably an elongated answer. Number one, back in Texas some years ago, Cryon says you're going to get a new pope. 13 months later, we did. The old one resigned, and then Cryon says this one's going to make a difference. Actually, when he gave the prediction he'd have a new pope, he said the next one will make a difference and will realize that he has to or he'll lose the church. And so what has happened so far is that this pope has been in contrast, and I'll make that very light, to the Roman Curia, which is the rule makers of the Catholic Church. By the way, the Roman Curia is where the last pope actually was selected from, Ratzinger. These are the rule makers. Okay, now rule makers meaning when a pope says, I would like to have, for instance, let's say a pope said, I'd like to have a way for women to become priests. That has to then go by the Roman Curia. They'd have to say yes. They'd have to examine the background. As they say yes, then it's fine. So the pope cannot make declarations that would affect the whole church. Supposedly, it's not the system. But he does. And he's learned to do it on airplanes with the press. And here's where he started. This is where the forgiveness of gays and so all of these other things that he started that should have been passed by the Roman Curia were not. And to a non-Catholic world, they just say, hey, the Pope's infallible. That's what he said. Guess what? This is now what the church believes. And that's become the way of it. And it almost has to in order to move off that peg where they were headed. And now you look at, I don't think it was in his pope's manual at all to deal with the abuse issue, that it's just monstrous. And he had to, and he has, to the degree he can, and remain pope. And I always wonder, is he in danger because of this? And the answer is yes. And who is he in danger mostly from? And I would say the church. Now, the next thing turned the page, what Cryon said when we were in Italy, when we were in the enclave of the Francis of Assisi, we learned something very interesting, and there's in the church there, there's a painting that talked about it. I'll be very quick. Evidently, Francis of Assisi was a very pure guy, and if you take a look at his history, I mean, so pure was he, and so such a follower of the purity of Christ. He took off his clothes that were bought by his father and everything else and stood in the street naked saying, I don't want anything to do with my family or anything to do with an old system, and put on the cloak of what he became, and that was Francis of Assisi. He was not ordained. He was not a priest. And yet, he was so pure, and he preached such beautiful things, and he had a healing center and lepers and animals and all these things that many priests were quitting their jobs and going with him. So this caused a problem with the Pope. Now, he had a problem with the Pope because the Pope was corrupt. Surprise. And there we had, that's happened in history, and you know it's happened. This is a really sordid history of the popedoms. This Pope was charging for the forgiveness of sins. And so what Assisi did was say, that's not right, that's not right, that's not Christ-like, that's not even following, that's not it. That's not what Peter would want or anything else. So he got more and more priests and everything else, and it got bigger and bigger. And finally, the Pope met with him and said, what do I have to do for you to stop this? And Assisi said, stop charging for the forgiveness of sins, and I want some money. Because I want money for my hospital, for the lepers, for my animals, for my zoo, and I want to build this place. And it was a done deal, and that's what happened. He bribed the Pope. And in exchange, he stopped then preaching against the Pope, and the priest went back. That is the story. Now, the funny thing is that in that church, what is the name of the church that we...
Yeah, it's the Basilica.
The Basilica there? There's
Basilica
a painting.
Of,
we have a
Francis.
Picture, that painting on the wall, and it's a painting of him meeting with a Pope, and there's a big, long list of things. It's right there. It's right painted in the church. And when you ask the guides and say, what is that painting referring to? And he says, oh, that's the meeting with Saint Francis of Assisi and the Pope listing Saint Francis's sins. It is not. That's the list of the bribe for money. So this is who Francis of Assisi was, and what Cryon said is our Pope is a reincarnate of that man. So. Doing renegade stuff.
Next question.
Thank you. My question is about the causal body, what they refer to as the God causal body, and how to tap into that and create with it.
I've not heard the term before. And the reason may be this, and I think I said this yesterday, that I don't read anything metaphysical or spiritual, and I'm not supposed to. So give me another word that I can relate to.
The principle is that it needs to be created above so it can then manifest below. So the macro,
does it have anything to do with so as above or below, and then the coordination between them? Was it?
No, this is actually doing with creating creation, how to create things in your life.
First of all, I love the whole principle and everything you've said, and it's not something that I've studied or Crian has talked about, but it's fascinating. And I think it's what we teach, in other words. But thank you.
Sorry, next.
And just by the way, do you see what just happened there? I don't read. I can't. I'm not supposed to. And I mentioned that yesterday. And it means that you guys and gals, are often very much more informed about things that are going on spiritually or systems that may be going on that I don't know and that Crian has not talked about. And so I'm out of the loop on some of these things that are asked because of that.
Next question then.
Thank you so much, Lee, and it's a pleasure to be here. I wanted you to address what you were talking about before with Marilyn about asking for proof. Something that always keeps me from asking that question is I feel like it always originates from a sort of doubt, and that actually keeps me from ever asking for proof, but I want to overcome that.
You're afraid of asking for proof.
I love it.
And you're not alone.
Because I've been told, if you have doubt, you won't get that proof.
That's right.
So what's the bridge?
I'll address it, and I'll address it, and Marilyn will too. Let's change the word. It's not proof, it's validation. Now, there is a difference. So proof would be something you'd write on paper, everybody sees it, and that's proof. Validation is something personal. So, for instance, for Joy, she sees a heart. And this is what she wants to have, even if it's a heart made of a noodle or something, or a string, or asparagus, or whatever. Marilyn, it's a feather. And that is what they're saying is, if this is real, if this is true, if this is what I'm supposed to do, show me in that way, and they'll receive their validation. Now, that's not validation for you or for anybody else in the audience. That's theirs. And that's what we're looking for. So what is it that privately you could ask for? Maybe you don't know what that is, but you could say, show me something I would recognize as validation for what I'm trying to do. Or you open the door and you're starting to ask. And according to Crian, this is what we're doing. We're exploring what Crian is saying. You are opening the door to the field. That is that yes universe that knows you and has been waiting for permission to show you. And then stand back, because these are the kinds of things where things will happen depending upon what you need for validation. I mean, do you need a magic rabbit to appear, or do you need something out of place, or something that disappears and comes back, or whatever? I have heard so many stories, and I've had this happen myself even before Crian, that I know that these things are possible. And that's what we're talking about. So I hope that answers a little bit. So it's got to be personal. And then you don't share it at all. And then and when it happens, I'll tell you, you know what happens the first time? Oh, that was just a coincidence. So it has to happen three times. And when it does, you'll know. And you'll just smile and laugh, because there it is. And you can't deny it. It's not a coincidence when it happens three times.
So next question, over here.
Crian has mentioned about that there are
people can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Crian has mentioned that the earth is starting to not respond to darkness, requests for dark actions from people, from consciousness. Is it ethical to sort of like a cross between the movie Avatar and The Day the Earth Stood Still to request the elementals not to respond to the dark actions and the dark intents of
people?
You know
what? We don't have to worry about any of that. I'll tell you the answer.
Okay.
That is going beyond your question. And it has to do with us. And it has to do with us getting back to a connection with Gaia. That connection is alive and well in most of the indigenous on the planet. And so when you're talking about the elementals, they are far more aware of what's going on in this planet when you come to vibration than even we are. All right? When we start understanding the connection to Gaia that the indigenous had, that is going to increase our consciousness. If you take a look at the magic that the indigenous had with nature and what happened there and what they could do and what they still believe, all the way from any of our Indians to Australia to any indigenous, you have to take a deep breath, because they were onto something. They've got the earth cooperating with them. And it's a symbiotic relationship between human and the earth. And you take a look at what happens to the carbon dioxide that we exhale. That the trees and the moss take it and give us back oxygen. It's like there's a symbiotic relationship. We don't have it. That is the answer, because the elementals, they don't need to be told anything. They are aware of it. It's us that has to then marry that energy. And it's about higher consciousness. That's what it's about. I hope that answered. Yes, please. I know this is the second question, but I'll allow it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. Your higher self is
here. What if somebody is like a healer? Don't they deal with these type of issues?
A healer? My advice to the healer is take a deep breath and sit and be loved. And don't worry about all of this minutia that we were told. We got to do this, we got to do that, we've got to hold our mouth right, we got to... All of these things are in an older energy where that's what we did. And we don't do it now, because it's almost like it's self-evident to a new healing energy. Just heal. Does that make sense to you? Thank you.
Okay, next question.
Chiron has spoken extensively about the inventions that are coming, one of which he talked about is the quantum lens, and how after that comes, things will be entirely different. Can you speak a little bit more to that effect?
I'll give you just a little, because there's been so many channels and so many people have known about it, but thank you, because this is, you touch on one of my favorite subjects, and that's dangerous, because I could give too long of an answer, and I'm a nerd, and so you're in trouble there. There's a lot of things we cannot see, even with our best science, and among them is almost everything that is multidimensional, and that starts right off with gravity. There's all these arguments about whether gravity is even a wave or whether it's a field, and they still don't know, and they thought they did, and then they didn't. So we follow this. Is gravity a particle? And we follow this, and they don't know. We can't see it. There's no way to see it. Magnetics, we can see the results of it, but we still don't have lenses that can say, here's the field, here's how strong it is. Did you know it's measured? I love this. Magnetics, especially the magnetic grid, is measured in micro Teslas. Don't you love that? I love it. Anything with Tesla's name on, I go, oh, yes. We cannot really see a magnetic field. We can see the results of it. And what I mean by that, we can put things there that it will affect. And we'll go, yeah, we can see the field. No, you don't. You're seeing the stuff that it responds to. So what does this tell you? It tells you that we are unable yet to view fields which are multidimensional. Are they viewable? And the answer is yes. And Krein says, yes, it's simply physics. And when you develop the inventions that will let you see things which we have labeled quantum is a bad word, it's become a noun, an adjective, it's whatever you want it to be, it's not really true. And a physicist will stand up and go, you guys don't really know what you're talking about when you say quantum this and quantum that. Let's just change the name. A multidimensional field will be viewable when we have the right invention that will allow it to be. Krein has dropped hints on what that invention may be, and it involves supercooling and plasma. That's a hint for some inventor somewhere who's even listening to this. And when you can view it, that's the point. You will see things we never saw before that will explain so much. As soon as you can see the field, and it's there, you'll see the patterning, the fractals, which will lead you to inventions that you never thought you'd know about because you can see the fields. But the biggest one won't be because you can see gravity, or you can see magnetics, is that we have a field around us that is multidimensional called the Merkaba. And you will be able to see that in whatever form it's allowable. And then you'll start to realize, aha, I can even see through colors and this lens and all, a person's health, a person's vibration, all these things. This is, then you realize this is what a health practitioner who can read you is often reading in your field. And it's right there. And when we have that invention, can you imagine what that's going to lead to? Not just in physics, but in health. And I mean, that's just going to be an astonishing thing. Krein says equivalent to the invention of the wheel. That's how much it's going to change us. And then he continues to say, not yet, not yet, not yet. And the reason, and I'll give you again, and you've heard it over and over, because you can weaponize it easily. And it's not going to happen until you won't.
Great. Next question.
I'm not sure how to ask, but it's a combination of the shift and everything becoming new and we're not carrying history forward. So how does that work with like what we're carrying in our field and with the Akash and with karma? I mean, if it's new
and the answer is, and this, I'm not being trite. You want to know how it works? It doesn't. How does it feel, both to you and anybody else, to be on the precipice where there is no predictions? There are no predictions about what comes next because all the predictions have fallen on the floor, are based upon what has happened in the past or patterns leading to things in the past. So you hear dire predictions, economy, all based upon the way economy works. I have a degree in economics. Most people don't know that. And that was my first sortie out of college. I didn't become an economist because I realized that economists are only hired by the government, and I didn't want to do that. So, and that all economics is based upon systems, the Keynesian or whatever it is, they're systems. And so all predictions are based upon the systems, the way they acted in the past and the way they act in the future. So all of these economic predictions that you hear, all the dire stuff that you hear, and all based upon the past. What has Krein said about that? He says those fractals of the past are gone, so don't look to that to be the end all of what's coming. All right, so we do the same thing, and you've asked about our Akash. So if you carry an Akash, for instance, where things have happened to you that affect what happens now, and you carry whether it's fear or whether it's joy or whatever, based upon what's happened in the past, you're going to have to apply that same thing and say it doesn't matter what happened in the past because this is a new ball game. Let's say you drowned many times. We're back to that. And you had Akashic records that picked that up, and now you're afraid of water. Let's say you have to go someplace where there's water to make a living or something. You have to, and you ask a past life reader, and you'll ask a facilitator and a healer, you're going to have to rewrite your program. You see how this is working? We cannot then take anything that we thought was real or we cling to and carry it into a new paradigm, or we will slog through a newness. And I say slog through it because we're always going to be doing things and trying things or whatever. And people will be standing around, you know, fold their arms, say, well, when you're done, let's go. Because it's a reflection of the past. Does that help a little? Let's get specific. Why did you ask? You wish to share.
Just the things that learning how to go into your Akash and how something that's happened to you could be affecting how you are today.
Exactly.
If it doesn't matter.
From
the shift forward.
Okay, let's say it does matter because you wouldn't be asking it if it didn't. All right. Let's say it does matter, and let's say you can call it up and you can look at it. That's the answer. You look at it and you dismiss it. As long as it hides and you wonder what it is, it'll always be fearful. If you can call that up, dear spirit, show me what this is, that's my block, that's happened in the past, that I know what it is. I mean, I just think I do. And it comes in a dream, and it comes in a vision, it comes in intuition, and it sits there, and it looks at you, and you go, bleh. And you can go, like, I dismiss you. This is not going to affect my life today. And I'm going to move on without any of this. That's what's different. Okay?
And if I can add.
Please.
There is also latent talents and abilities in the Akash.
Thank you.
That you can pull forward. We spend so much time concentrating on the tragic or real emotional charged things. We forget that there may also be the lifetimes of being a shaman. And the fact that we together with Amber Wolf, wrote a book on the women of Lemuria, that's come from Akashic remembrance. And it's not alone, because many people around the planet are starting to awaken to a lifetime where they received core spiritual information. And Kryon said, to those who are in that case, the challenge is this: erase every lifetime that happened between then and now. Because the purity of what you had, it's still just as relevant in your Akash today as it was then. Because time and space has no place for the Akashic records, which are multidimensional energy.
And I want all of you to know, this, besides my partner and the love of my life, this is the Kryon archivist. She remembers so much. And part of what she brings to this and all this, including the Q&A, is she will sometimes remember many things that Kryon has said in channels that she's transcribed and looked at and listened to, and they lock in that I have long forgotten. And therefore, and that's one of them. And then let me continue, because I love this where this goes. Have you heard the term from Kryon, mining the Akash? Like a gold miner would mine a gold mine. And that is the example. So suddenly we have another concept that goes right along with what you've asked. Can we go in and get the good stuff that's happened? And the answer says, in this new energy, absolutely. The things that have happened to you that have been wonderful and joyful, that have worked in your lives and past lives, is also available, not just the things that have become a challenge.
Next question. I think you had your hand.
Thank you. Kryon spoke in a previous thing about, I think it was one door closed and three open, with one being drop the karma. And our working here today with expanded innate, is that opening another door?
There's really only one door. And I don't want to get super simplistic, but when the one door is open, in this energy to whatever you're going to call it, the field or intuition and all, almost all of the things that you've heard before, including the influence of past lives, the influence of karma, and all that, goes away, or at least is pushed aside for a greater truth. Why you're here, what's next, the synchronicity that's happened, and we don't have to then minutiaize. What about this, what about this, what about this? And it's hard for us because we're so linear. And what we've been taught in the past about how many steps we have to do and how full this bag has to be and all, that it's hard for us to imagine opening a door that would then push that aside and all we're getting is the good stuff. And I guess it sounds super simplistic, but that is what Kryon teaches, is that there is that source that throws away, or at least subliminates those kinds of things, especially karma. And long ago, and I think in Kryon Book 1, he talked about taking the implant, which was a scary thing. And the implant was the implantation of permission to change. And that permission to change means that you drop karma, you drop past life experiences, and you step out and say, I'm ready. And that is a concept that is, let's say that it fights with doctrines of religions, which are set with rules of hierarchy. And that's what the controversy is. And that's one of the big differences with Kryon's work, is there is no hierarchy. Is you step right into a position that everybody else is in, and that's mastery. And you learn about it. That's part of what Marilyn is teaching all the time. Can we connect in a way and expand in a way that we can realize that?
Great question. Next question.
Hi, it's Susan. And I am thinking that this question might help more than just myself, in that we understand mining the Akash, and it's really a wonderful thing to be a light worker full of joy. Joy. As a tree hugger, it breaks my heart to think what's happening to the whales and the elephants and things like that. So I have a solution. I just want you to know if it's true. And that is let's say they go extinct. They actually end up living on another planet. So they're not really extinct?
I love that. I love, you are such an animal lover. You're such a Gaia lover. I mean, it uses glowing. And that suggestion is just like, I love it. Can we just grab them all up and send them another place? So we won't hurt them anymore. You know, one of the things that's going on with a higher consciousness is an appreciation of Gaia and the animals. We just came from a place, the Azores, which was one of the last places on the planet to eliminate whaling. And it's so interesting to see that consciousness and then to realize that, for the exception of a couple of holdouts, which are actually, you know, skirting the issue, all the planet has agreed on treaties to protect this animal. Even countries without oceans have agreed to protect this animal. This is the beginning, I think, of a consciousness that starts to see the consciousness of animals as important to this planet, part of Gaia, part of the living scheme of what made us, instead of just, you know, resources or just something we got to push aside. And again, I go back to her question we come to, or not the question, but the answer I gave her, and that is what the relationship is going to become with Gaia. Monica is not one to say a lot about this, but when I met her, it was before I met her, she was a park ranger for Australia and worked in several places, and they went into New Zealand as well. And in her training, go ahead.
Well, I actually thought, I thought we just needed to wipe out half the population and then,
of humanity.
You know, humans are the scourge of the earth. And that I was really quite passionate about it because of all the environmental problems I saw. So my own awakening when I heard about Kryon talking about Gaia in terms of the sentience of the planet and the crystalline grid and the Gaia grid and the cave of creation, and the reason for Gaia was to support humanity in humanity's test of choice of consciousness, that put me on a 180 change between Gaia and humanity's. And so now it's like, oh, the ones that are really hurting the environment haven't woken up to the fact that we're allied. And Gaia's just like the cliff on the ocean that takes the hammering of the waves. Gaia is just there until we figure it out. She's more resilient than what we know. And I mean, my country, Australia, we claim we have the highest rate of extinction from the invasion of feral animals and introducing one pest to get rid of another pest, and then it causes mass extinction. So the amount of species that have become extinct are shocking. But the dinosaurs aren't here either. And so we're just seeing one slice of time, and let's talk about it in another 200,000 years.
What's the plan? What is the plan?
Mm.
And the plan is higher consciousness means an alliance with Gaia.
Yeah.
Honoring not just the earth, but animals of the earth and these kinds of things. Not so we're going to save them all, but so that we understand the symbiotic relationship and we won't harvest them and we'll treat them in an equal way. This Kryon has said, if you doubt that and if you think it's Pollyanna talk, just talk to an indigenous about how it works.
Yeah.
There have been stories, and I've heard this now something like 3 or 4 times, of the buffalo. There is no such thing as a buffalo. It's a bison, by the way. Buffalo is not a name. That was a mistake. I got that from the park ranger in
Yellowstone.
So the bison will come in, actually volunteer, and come into the tribe and be killed in order to feed the tribe. And every part of that animal is used. It's used for warmth. It's used, all of this stuff. So many stories of a symbiotic relationship where that animal actually arrive by itself. And I thought when I heard that, wow, that would make a good movie. That's a cute story. And then I heard it again. And then I heard it again from another source and another tribe. And I went, could this actually be that there's that kind of an agreement between Gaia, animals, earth, trees, plants, and humans? And the answer was yes. When they're an alliance, there is.
Next question.
Kryon talks a lot about coherence. Could you explain what he means?
Not easily. Oh. coherence is, you know what? Everybody knows what incoherent means. That's too many martinis. Coherence would be the opposite, where things are put together in a synchronous way where they cooperate. Now, a coherence field then would be a field that promotes that kind of cooperation. It's the HeartMath Institute who started studying that field. And that then led them to the knowledge through experiences that you can create it around yourself so you can be in coherence with yourself. We're often not. We struggle with ourselves. Self-worth, is this right? Is this wrong? I'm going into a meeting, I'm anxiety and all this. If you had coherence within yourself, and this is HeartMath study, you would be bright and shining, you'd be breathing right, and you'd be intelligent in this meeting. That has been proven, and I love their work. Then they went on to say, is it possible you could have a coherence between individuals in a group? So you can have group coherence. Well, they came up with a wonderful system to test that, and there's software that's used when you clip it to a human, and using heart rate variability, there's a whole bunch of things that can be determined by the space between heartbeats and how you're thinking, what your consciousness is, and whether you're at rest or not, or whether you're thinking good thoughts or not. It's astonishing what you can tell about the heartbeat. They've got software that shows if you're in coherence or not. And we've done experiments, and often we will bring that machine and we'll do it with people in the audience. Some of you might have seen this. I will do that sometimes on a Sunday, sometimes on a Monday with Dr. Amber Wolf. And so that is what coherence is as we're talking about. Now, when Kryon talks about coherence, he goes much farther. He talks about coherence with you and the universe. That's part of the synchronicity we're talking about, literally opening the door and being one then with all the things that humanity doesn't even believe in. It's in general. And that is that there is a field around us, and that field naturally is coherent with the love of God. And that we are now tapping into that, and we can then become it, and also the people around us can become it. These experiments, there was a way, are so grand. They did a coherence experiment at Hobima, a theater in Israel, when I was there, when we were in meditation and channel. And I don't know the instruments they used and all, but there were several around the room, and I knew they were doing it, and what they showed was there was an amazing coherence with the individuals. You know when else you get this? Have you ever sat in a meeting where something was happening and everybody felt it? And maybe it's a movie where there's something on the screen and everybody feels it. And it's more than mirror neurons. It's you're feeling something and there's a palpable energy and everyone's on the same track for just a moment. That's coherence. Now we know we can create it. And now we know a little bit more about what it is, and Kryon is talking about it more and more because of these experiments and because of we've been, as humanity, experimenting with it. I think it's the front line of more of a discovery of who we really are and what we can do that is positive.
Next question.
Hi, Lee. I'm Sharat. It's wonderful to be here and really fabulous feeling the energy of Kryon.
You're not from Cuba, are you?
No, I'm from India.
Yeah, it's only, all right, fine. That's just, yes. Just a little joke.
Thank you. My question is, actually, I'm also from a media channel, a TV channel called Mana TV. And we have done a few shows on, it's a show called Healthy as Well by my friend. And we have done a few series on autism. ADHD and ADD and things like that. Kryon have said that these kids, the autistic and the indigo, they are kids of the new consciousness. And in the series, in the TV series, I've seen parents worrying about them, talking about them, and really concerned about what will happen to their future, what will happen to them, and I've seen them crying, actually. So, I mean, I had this in my heart and somehow I felt I'll come to one Kryon meeting and ask you, and this happened. So I just wanted to know.
You're not telling me you actually had synchronicity, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
I see.
Yes. The synchronicity is, you used the word synchronicity, and now I'm using it. And
thank you.
I just wanted to, what is the suggestion and the message to the parents?
Well, it's a message to humanity, not just to parents, but thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything you're doing, for the TV, you are one of the front runners, and I've seen many of them, that actually is doing something about what we're talking about, and trying to educate, or at least to explore some of these things, so that the public can hear some of the things that are may not be out there otherwise. Crying has been very clear, we're in a transition. We're in a transition. That means there's not going to be an immediate solution. The indigos are not necessarily related to the autistics. But the issue is the same, and the issue is the change of consciousness. And there's always forerunners who will be ahead of the curve and will be looked at as different or a problem. And that is what is going on there, especially in the autistics. My heart goes out to all the parents who have an autistic child, because there's so much work involved. Every single one of the ones I've talked to will say, there's so much work. And we'll say, and how long is it going to last? And they say, probably all our lives. And then they look at me, and I look at them, and they say, and it's worth it. Because there's so much love from this child. And then you start to realize there's something else going on. There is. This child is responding to compassion and love, and that's not linear. And in that response, they get a chance to then briefly linearize some other things so that the child becomes less frustrated. And so their job with an autistic child is to make them less frustrated. And that is what is coming. Higher consciousness will plug us into systems and ideas we don't have now that'll help us. An autistic, according to Crayon, is one without a linear brain. We have almost a construct put on us that makes us linear. Makes us expect to do things in numbers in a row and all. When you take off the linearity, there's more of a circle of time, a multidimensional feel, things that we are not aware of and hard to grasp. And that's who they are. Thank you.
Wonderful.
This is going to be the last question because we're hitting 2:30 and that's when we're going
to
stop.
I was heading to this lady here.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you. I know there are some books on the website for children. Are there any plans to continue to translate or explain the teachings of Crayon and Adironda to children on various levels, be they elementary readers or teenagers, going forward to continue that consciousness forward?
I love the question. It's a delightful question. The answer is from Crayon, no. Perhaps Adironda, I don't know. But why is the best news I can give you is because there's going to be others do it. And these others are going to be more believable than a channeler. These others are going to be educators. And they're going to start giving the ABCs of what should change on this planet, especially in this country, in the education of children and why. And there's going to be backed up with science and backed up with tests and all these things. And this is what I've expected now for 13 years, and it's already started. So you should see the number of children's books that I know are in progress. Educating children about exactly what we teach, they have to do it carefully, and they have to do it in ways that the children will understand. It's not offensive to the adults or to the establishment, and that's tough. And almost all of those who are doing it are pre-indigos. And I like that. Okay. Thank you all for this. This is what we're doing now is going, oh, yes, thank you.